Excellent singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. Let me see if I got the right button. Is that it? Yep. There it is right there. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. If you find the place and you're able to stand, we're going to be looking there. And we'll looking at a few passages there. Verse number 6 will be our text verse. Look, if you will, please, in the passage in chapter 4, 2 Timothy verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now do thy diligence, come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, that's sad news, and having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, and Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. And he said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, and for he is profitable unto me and for the ministry. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. And we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while, an old sermon on when it's time to depart. Now, I'm not preaching this because I'm old and I'm thinking I'm about to depart. I say that often, but one of these days it'll be time. It'll be time for you and I. And it'll pass quicker than you really realize, and it'll be that day's time up and over and so forth and on. It'll be time to be called and stand before the Lord. In this lesson, let me tell you right now, in the life that we're commended to, we've been commanded to preach the word of the Lord, to be instant in season, out of season, and to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine. Verse number 2 will tell you that. Preaching the word's a very vital, very most important thing to you and I and our family. In this lesson that you're looking at, life here is going to be short. Over in the book of Job, chapter 14, do not turn there. But the Bible said it's like a flower. It's first a bud, then it's going to bloom, and then it's going to be blooming, then it's going to be full bloomed, and it's going to be over and start to fall away. Man that's born of woman, the Bible said in the book of Job, is full of trouble. It's a few days and full of trouble. And like sparks that fly upward. And Job chapter 14, you can read all about it over there. What God's trying to say to you and I, we've got a limited time that we're here upon the face of this earth. I begin to think about whenever you're in this lesson that we're looking at, is that in the day and hour that we're in, you're going to find that the Apostle Paul, he'd been beat at, cussed at, fussed at, stoned, left for dead. And now he said, time of my departure's at hand. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, he'd been faithful during all of that time of being able to preach the gospel. You know, it's hard to live for God in the day and hour that we're living in, because you're in a battle with the mind, a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Listen, you may not play those video games that they were talking about. You may not listen to the wrong music that they're talking about. You may not go to some of the places that we've been talking about. You may not be involved in some of those things. But I got to tell you right now is, whether you're involved in anything or not, your plate is full of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if you're not careful, you see, the battle of the mind we're talking about. And all of those other things, all those things need to be preached on. And all of those things need to be reminded every now and again. But life, if you will please, is a battle. It's a battle against the world and the world system. It's a battle against the flesh. And let me tell you, I know you probably don't have as much trouble as your flesh as I do mine, but flesh will really get a hold of you. I want to say to you that, if you will please, and the devil. And you know, as you begin to look into that, you ever have the devil just torment your mind and all that business there? You sit around muddy grub sometime and go to feeling sorry for yourself, and guess who will come up to comfort you and sit right in your lap and spend the day with you but the devil? I got to tell you right now, he's not a friend. He never has been. He never will be. Paul the apostle knew what it was like to deal with the betrayer. Paul the Apostle knew what it was like to be able to say, you know what, it's time for me to depart. My departure is at hand. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you the reason why that he's ready to go is because of the fact that he's in tune with the word of the Lord, in the tune with the truth, in tune, if you will, please, with the Lord God Almighty. And let me tell you something, he stayed true to Christ. Now, in the passage here that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Bible said we ought to preach the word of the Lord, and we ought to be instant in season, out of season, so forth and on. And they that they're in a world that turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, we're talking about the Baptist church. You can go anywhere you want to, and it don't matter what size it is, and as long as you don't preach the truth. You go to telling the truth about what God said about how we're living and how what's going on in the world, and you're going to have some problems. Now, they're good problems to have. I'd rather go to meet my maker with having said whatever God intends than to cater to that crowd that's turned to fables. I can't tell you how many people in the day and hour that we're living in that absolutely have just lost all sensibility with themselves and with their church, and because of the fact is that fabulistic things are exposed in the day and hour of which that we're living in. I got to say to you, if you're going to stand for Christ, you're going to have to stand against some corruption that comes up every now and again. Some of it's going to be man-made doctrine. Some of it's going to be fabulistic creatures. Some of it's going to be absolutely just so far off the grid of truth that you're going to wonder, how in the world could they come up with that? They don't really need a reason. You see, in the day and hour we're living in, who would have ever thought that we'd be having such a tight race between a communist-minded woman by the name of Kamala Harris and a stuck-on-himself man by the name of Donald Trump. Now, I'm going to tell you is that I don't want to vote for neither one of them, but I'm going to vote for Trump, just so you'll know that. I've done voted for him twice. And look at the world that we're living in. Look at the problems that we're facing. I want to tell you something, the modernists and the liberal, they're never going to stand against sin. They're never going to stand against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And let me tell you right now is, you know what they'll do, don't you? They'll say, well, you know what? Jesus sat and ate with sinners. Yeah, but he didn't enjoy their company. We're not talking about Jesus eating with sinners. We're talking about, buddy, the Lord Jesus Christ did not condone their lifestyle, did not condone their belief, and yet you'll find he never changed his message to be able to cater unto that crowd of sinners that he would sit down sometimes and eat with. In fact, is the Bible said that he recognized is that men needed to be called unto repentance. Here you are sitting here tonight. When you got saved, God called you out of darkness into light, out of death into life. He called you by his grace and enlightened you that you might see yourself like he sees you. And as a result of that, you're going to find that's what he's talking about whenever he sits and then he dines with sinners. Let me say to you that, if you will, please, is that you'll find is that the Bible said they are called to repentance that they might be able to see themselves like God sees them and that they might be able to turn from sin and be born again into the family of God. It's the same old message that's always been preached since time, is that it's a message you'd better turn or you're going to burn. It's very simple, a very simplified thing. Over there in the book of Mark in chapter number 2, and you ain't got to turn there, but Jesus told a crowd one time that he was talking with, they that are whole need not a physician. Now, you know what's wrong with people that are sick? I'll tell you what, they need the great physician. They don't just need to go down to the doctor and get another pill or get another elixir of some sort. What they need is that this is a sickness that only repentance and only faith that's given by God can cure. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. And when God calls people, the Lord Jesus calls people to repentance, you'll find out is that it's because they now know the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father except by him. Now, you know, it used to be that every now and again a preacher would preach the whole counsel of God in the day and hour we're living in. Now, I know we got a few that still do it, and all that business, and God bless the few that do. But let me say to you that, if you will, used to, they would preach the whole counsel of God. When they brought in a preacher, they'd do the same thing.
And then not only that, they'd deal with sin and subjects that plagued the church. Now they're busy hiding sin. Now they're busy, many of them, you know, trying to hide queer kids, pedophiles, interracial marriages, dope heads, drunken kids, premarital sex, adultery, fornication. We live in a different world than we did when I first started out and when I got saved. God's now the same. He's not changed any. In this lesson here, you're going to find out is that over there, the Bible said, don't turn to it, but in Isaiah 59, the Bible said that you and I ought to be busy about the Father's business, and they ought to plead for the truth of God to be manifested in this land we're living in. See, the average Baptist has got more problems than Carter's got pills or peanuts. And as a result of that, you're going to find out they're just looking for another soul-winning message or another easy-to-believe message or another that won't bother anybody message. I got to say to you that, if you will, that Isaiah 59 and about verse number 4, the Bible said there's none that pleadeth for truth. When's the last time you heard somebody, whenever you said, hey, where are you going to church at? I'm over there. They preaching the truth? I guess they don't care. I got to tell you right now is the way, the truth, and the life is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An old man was one time listening to a fellow, and the guy got up full of himself, and so as a result of that, he spoke on this subject and that subject and his intellect and that intellect and all that. When he got done, he went down there and he asked an old man that was sitting there on the pew, he said, what'd you think about that, my old brother? He said, there wasn't enough gospel in it to save anybody. That's the new world we're living in. I got to say to you, the gospel has always been, it is right now, tonight, the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to also the Greek. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that over there in the book of Isaiah, the Bible said there's none that plead for truth. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, you'll find he said truth has fallen in the stream. As a result of that, in Jeremiah chapter number 9 and verse number 3, he said it's hard to find anybody that's valid for the truth. You know, in this day and hour that my wife and I were talking about it, sometimes, you know, when we're out of town, we always have always been, always are now, we try to find a place to be faithful just for our family to see we're faithful to the things of God, even though we have sat through, like you many times, some horrible stuff, some horrible excuses for preaching. As a result of that, you're going to find is that when you leave the truth of God, buddy, you have left your guide. Over there in the book of John, chapter 16, this Bible says in verse number 13 that the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you into all the truth. See, when you leave the Spirit of God and the Word of Lord, you have the Word of the Lord, you have left your guide. You've got nobody to guide you. So as a result, you're just going to walk around like the blind leading the blind, bumping into this wall, that wall, this heresy and that heresy. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, I'm glad to know the Spirit of God that lives in my heart and yours, if you're saved, that is, that He'll lead and guide and direct you into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. I will say, second of all, that if you will, in our text that we're reading here tonight, but watch thou in all things. Look at that. If you're watching tonight, let me tell you right now is you're noticing some people up and down the road of life that don't have a clue what's going on. But watch thou in all things. I can tell you right now is, you ever have the devil slip up on your blind side? It's because you wasn't watching. You ever have the devil get a hold of one of your kids? You need to be watching more carefully. This Bible said that, if you will, watch thou in the passage that we've read in verse 5, you better watch. Now, the reason why you better watch, we're in a warfare with the world, the flesh, and the devil we've been talking about. And let me tell you right now is, the Bible said, but watch out all things, endure affliction. You're going to get hurt and hit every now and again. Do the work of an evangelist. We ought to be a witness for the cause of Christ with your lip and with your life. Make full proof of thy ministry. See, while you're busy working about the Father's work, you ought to be a witness. You remember whenever you used to, you know, carry a gospel tract in your purse or in your pocket, if you went out to eat, you left a tract there on the table. Or if you went, now, by the way, if you don't have any tip money, don't leave the tract. They'll think you're a cheap Baptist. But if you've got anything at all, lay it down there and then lay the gospel tract. But I'm just saying that, if you will, that whenever you're watching and you're witnessing for the cause of Christ. But you know the greatest witness that we've got? Listen, I look around across right here. I don't see anybody in this building tonight that we per se knocked on the door. Hey, how you doing? Was invited in. I've been in a many a home. I've been invited in a many a time. Most of the time anymore they don't, but they'll invite you in every now and again. But I look around here, and I'm not seeing people that we ran up on, knocked on the door. I'm seeing people that you won to yourself, out of your family, out of your friend, people that are colleagues at work, people that you were involved with. You see what I'm talking about? They saw Jesus in you, and as a result of that, they came to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. In this lesson, he says, watch thou in all things. Now, I'll tell you, if you don't watch, it won't be long. You'll be like the crowds you've been watching. You won't have a clue what's going on. Notice he said, endure afflictions. Now, you know, there's a little pain and agony to be able to endure every now and again in the form of afflictions. And if you'll endure afflictions, suffer for the cause of Christ, not being a busybody in other men's matters. You see, not everything is going to go our way in life. I was thinking about, I wanted, whenever I was growing up as a young man, and then when I got saved, and of course, and my wife and I were already married, and as we watched our family grow, all we ever wanted for them is to be able to serve God, live for God, and as a result of that, and to raise a better family than what we were as parents. And we've done that. We have that. We have better kids than we are parents. As a result, you're going to find out is that the Bible said that you'd better endure affliction, because there's going to be some things that are not going to go your way. Last but not least, I want to say, whenever he said do the work, verse 5 of an evangelist, that's what we're talking about, telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, not only with your lip but with your life. A personal witness, buddy, that others can see Jesus in you. A congregational witness. You know, it would worry me that if every time somebody walked through the door and told me they was looking for a church home, it would worry me that if we had many of them light right here. And you know the reason why? It's not reality. Most of the time, whenever they're coming in, we might be looking for a church home. I'm going to try to help them find one. If God puts them in here, then fine. That's going to work out just right. But if God doesn't put them in here, God help us. See? And so every now and again, you know, there's one going to be able to slip through the net. But make no mistake about it, you're going to find when we're telling others about Christ, that's a personal testimony. It's a congregational testimony. That's the reason why we come together like this. We hear that good singing. We hear that good praise. Now, let me say to you, you may not be able to sing a song, but you can be a distributor of tracts and articles and messages. And you get time, listen to this DVD here. I used to have a lot of those and all of that right there. And then, of course, you know, one of my favorite preachers in all the world. Now he's busy selling wigs, but nonetheless. So I quit giving out his DVDs. He used to, Brother Anderson, now don't let everybody get a hold of these. They'll be selling these on the internet. See what I have to deal with? You never knew that, did you? I want to tell you what the Apostle Paul dealt with that on a deeper scale than what I'm talking about. And the Bible said that I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know what he did? He made full proof of his ministry. What anything left for him to do, he knew God was through with him and what he was doing. They've got a big controversy now. Old Brother John MacArthur, you know, he has stepped down the way I understand it. I don't see it on the news and all this and that. And then they've got an excerpt under there where some of the elders were suing him about this, about that, and all that. What a sorry bunch. Do you know that the Bible said that if you try to sue your own church or threaten your own church, you're sorry? Do you remember over there when the Bible said, where was it, 1 Corinthians about chapter number 6, something like, dare any of you go at law against a brother and not among the church, you see? I'm going to tell you right now is you can't fix stupid, and you can't erase sorriness, friend. It'll just show up in people. I want to say in closing that, if you will, that they got a little excerpt that says, why Brother MacArthur stepped down. And I'm going to give it to you right here. I hope you can handle it. Because he's 85. You lost your mind. People wonder, well, what in the world is he stepping down for? I wonder what's going on with him. He's 85. My word. I guess we could take him in a hospital bed and roll him up and down the aisle and all of that right there, but he wasn't real dynamic anyhow and all that. I'm just saying to you that here's a man, he's very close to being able to realize and know the King James Bible is the Word of God instead of the New American Standard. I used to argue with him about it through the mail, but of course you're not going to win that argument after they've gone so far, sold so many books, and they've got so many other Bibles with his endorsement, so forth and on. I got to tell you right now, when Paul the Apostle said, make full proof of my ministry, there's nothing else for him to do. He's now ready. And I want to tell you something. That involves a fight of the flesh, the world, the devil. It involves finishing your course. It involves faith in what God has done. It involves just simply knowing there's nothing else for me to do on the face of this earth, and the Lord is now ready to take me home. Now, what a blessed thought that is. What a blessed thought that is. I hope we can all say that together one of these days. It'll be individually wrapped. Into our feet, our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. Bless your word to every heart. Bless these boys and girls. Lord, may they have the desire burning inside them to want to be able to fulfill their life's work and mission in obeying Christ. I pray you bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Bless, I pray now, each and every one of them. We'll thank you.